celebrating the world's best dabs.
Son, this is whiskey. Try some.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
What are you doing?
Here's to all the dads who impregnated all the moms and made us.
Hey, I'm not made of money. What am I, a money tree?
I just need bail, Dad.
National Bank of Dad.
Everybody be nice to your dad. Maybe just leave him alone. Some peace and quiet. And don't ask me for money.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP, with my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Nick Martin.
Hey, what's going on, man?
I was thinking about doing a crazy, stupid intro like I always do. Last year, like Mr. Big Head or something.
That's right.
But I just let it alone
that
time.
It could have been Mr. Little Penis.
We're not 30 seconds in, man.
Well, I figured we got to lay off Bigfoot. We could jump on small dicks for a little bit.
No, let's not.
Let's lay off
the small dicks and the small penises, okay?
Let's just get off dicks.
Personally, I don't want to jump on any dick.
Neither do I.
All right. You like how this one's going, special guest?
I like it.
All right.
Well, 30 seconds in, we've gone off the rails.
Well, I completely 100% blame you, Nick Martin, on that one.
My bad.
With us today is a very, 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 very special guest. Emmy Award-winning movie star, TV star, former policeman, fireman, and one hell of a good-looking man, Jerome Hamilton. How are you, sir?
If I was any better, JP, I'd be twins. I'm doing pretty good.
That is amazing, man. It is good to have you here. We can't wait to have a chit-chat with you and talk about all things life and what is Jerome Hamilton.
Yeah. Absolutely my honor and pleasure to be here.
Oh, man, we appreciate it.
So stoked on this one.
Oh, yeah, we've been looking forward to it. Of course, real quick, big old thanks to many of our sponsors. Right here. Show it to the camera right up there. Who is that, Nick? Who we got?
Boneyard Elixir. So if you guys are into CBD-infused beverages, these guys make the best. Hit them up, boneyardelixir.com. They'll deliver right to your door.
Yeah, absolutely. Our brand new, we found out earlier this week, sponsor, Red Robin Gourmet Burgers. I actually went in there on Friday.
You got to sit down in a restaurant.
Yeah, sit down and eat. And they hooked us up. It was amazing as usual. The kids loved it. So Red Robin, you guys are amazing. Thank you so very much. Wow. So, Jerome.
Yes, sir.
What is it like being an Emmy Award winner, man?
You know, I'm just a normal guy. Got lucky.
Yeah?
That's all I can tell you. It's, it hasn't really changed my life much.
Well, it would change my life. You know why? Because I would be absolutely, what's the word, flexing everywhere I go.
That's right. I'd be doing Facebook Live videos with my Emmy.
I'd take a shower with it.
Because I'm that guy.
I actually thought about bringing it here for you.
Yeah, you were supposed to. I told Nick to tell you. Apparently,
I honestly forgot that.
I would have brought it.
My bad. You were actually supposed to come in. Not supposed to. We talked about, well over a year ago after the couple concerts we have, of you coming in the radio show and bringing that Emmy when it was fresh, when you just had it.
Right.
And here I am. I'm going to have to wait again. Maybe I'll just have to come out to the Hamilton abode. Check out all your cars and stuff.
Come on out and check it out.
Oh, it's good stuff, man. Yeah. So you're a fireman right now.
Yes.
Now, is that a full-time gig or is it a... like a volunteer type deal?
I'm a volunteer 24/7. So I'm on call 24/7. And for a small town, Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
The chief out there is a really nice guy and needs the help. So I decided because my life is pretty cool and I have the time, why not give back? So I kind of picked a town that needed the help.
Right.
I don't live in Wolf Creek, but picked a town that needed the help. And it's been very rewarding. I've already made lieutenant, man. It's just crazy.
Wow.
And, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's volunteer, but we do everything that the paid guys do.
Right.
Exactly the same training, everything. So really the only difference is we don't take home a paycheck.
Yeah, well, that's it's rewarding,
you said. That's absolutely. I'm not doing it for the money.
Any crazy stories that have happened in your time there yet?
Well, we had a guy yesterday, about 80 years old, cleaning a firearm, and I think he shot himself in the knee, and it went through his hand.
Wow. But, okay.
Ouch.
Yeah, that doesn't tickle very much.
Our district mainly covers a lot of the 5 freeway, so we do a lot of traffic accidents, lots of them.
Right.
You know, up there in the top of the Cascade Mountain Range.
Yep.
So I think we had four rollovers in the same turn in one day. I mean, it's gnarly. People don't slow down through there. They need to.
Wow. That's...
Yeah.
I'm sure you see some unfun things.
Yeah, you know what? Somebody's got to do it, and... I just like to, honestly, I just really like to help people. It's just my thing.
You know what else I think you like to help?
What's that?
Bench presses. Weights.
Still haven't been to the gym in a long, long
time. Oh, man, well, if you.
Wait, if you look, you look like a G.I. Joe. How have you not?
You literally not look like a G.I. Joe. Like, you look like the G.I. Joe.
I wish I had his money.
So, you know, obviously this is going to be on YouTube. What's up, YouTube? Hey, y'all.
What's up?
But for those listening audio, and if you don't have a access to a phone or a computer, which is just weird because how would you be listening to this to begin with? But if you choose you don't want to see the visual version of this, let me just tell you, this man is well over 6 feet tall. He's ripped. And you look like a 25-year-old man.
Yeah, but I'm old.
Yeah, but you're definitely not a 25-year-old man.
Yeah, I feel every bit of my 60 years.
He's
right
60
now.
Years old. Wow. And a silver fox.
Yeah. Look at that.
You,
yeah.
You know, I'm just throwing out, you're a good-looking man.
How come I'm single, then?
Well, we can delve into that a little bit later in the show. Yeah. There may be some deep-seated psychological issues going on with you, Jerome. I don't know.
Must be.
We may have to find out. I've stalked your Facebook profile over the last couple of years since we first met. Yeah. You haven't been single that entire time.
Oh, no.
I think it's poor choices.
My problem is poor choice.
And high standards.
The one person, you know, I'm not going to settle. And, you know, I do have high standards. I like to be treated the way I treat people.
Fair enough.
I want to be respected. I don't want to be lied to. And first of all, I can't do long distance dating. And that was what that was all about last year. You know, she lived in Wyoming and it's just too far. And so there you have it. So it's just me and my dog that I rescued.
Oh, well, that's not a bad relationship right there.
No, it's pretty good.
Now, ladies, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I mean, you see what? Drone, peek over and look at that camera right there. All right. There you go. Yeah. All right, there you go. Ladies, if you are anywhere in the range of 18 to 60.
No,
I'm just kidding.
You know, honestly.
18 to 25.
My wife of 17 years is 14 years younger than me.
Yep.
So I'm used to ladies at this point in their 40s and early 50s.
Okay.
It just depends on how well they take care of themselves. And that I'm not that superficial, but. Looks are important to me.
Of course. And there's actually, Nick, I don't know if you've heard about this, there's an actual mathematical equation to figure out the exact age that you are looking for. And I will dish that upon you right now. So you take your age.
Yeah. Okay.
In this case, you said 60.
Yeah.
Divide it in half. 30.
Yeah.
And then you add 7 years.
Perfect.
37-year-old woman is who you are looking for.
I think it's a little young.
Well, but see, the greatest thing about this equation is the older you get, the younger it plays out for you.
Right. Well, the other thing I like is somebody that's been there, done that. So if she's 37 and been through it all already and just wants to chill and travel and have fun and enjoy a nice guy,
there you go.
I'm your guy.
Yes. All right. Nick?
Let's jump into, you have kids.
I have
grandkids that are,
I do.
You show
I've
all
got
these
nine,
awesome
I got
pictures.
Nine grandchildren.
Oh,
I've
wow.
got five children.
Okay.
And... Man, you know, what a blessing. That is the biggest blessing in my life.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me. I became a dad when I was 17 years old, so it has not been easy.
Me too.
You know, so, I mean, I've come along, you know, kind of a rough journey. I dropped out of high school to become a dad and lived in a car for quite a long time till I got a job and, you know.
Right.
I lived in a Ford Pinto of all things. So,
My sisters had Ford Pintos.
Yeah. So, I mean, it hasn't been a... an easy journey, but I guess I really wouldn't change anything, even the painful moments, if it changed me being sitting here right now. You know, to be honest with you, you change 1 millisecond of your life and nothing's the same.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, I wouldn't trade anything for the health of my children or grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I'm very lucky.
So I may not have been paying attention just there. In fact, it's a strong possibility that I was not paying attention.
And we're not even drinking this.
Because not only am I, you know, a host, I'm also a producer, I'm also board operator, and I'm also IT and camera operator these days. Nick, you better get up with that. Did you say how many kids you had, Jerome?
I have five.
Five total? And how many grandkids?
Nine.
So the man's rocking a number 14.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. Congratulations.
Hey, you know, God is good. That's all I can tell you. Thank you.
That deserves some applause right there.
Exactly.
So what, you're 17,
yep.
And how old is your youngest grandchild?
My youngest, well, the funny part is my oldest child, who is going to be 44,
okay.
My daughter, she has the oldest and the youngest. So I have a 21-year-old granddaughter, uh-huh. which is insane for me. And then I have a Ryder, I believe, is now 3.
Oh. And she runs the whole gamut.
Yeah, so we've got them everywhere in between, too.
It's amazing,
They're
man.
Good kids. They're good kids. And my kids are good kids. So, you know, I'm very fortunate that my grandkids are being raised right.
Well, you know, you played a big part in that. You know, if the grandkids are raised right, the parents were raised right, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I said, it wasn't an easy road.
Is it ever?
I don't think so.
I mean,
if it was easy, everybody be doing it, right?
Well,
I think everyone is doing that.
We're in Southern Oregon, so yeah. It's,
yeah. I'm surprised I don't have any COVID babies, honestly, through 2020.
No, right? Kidding. Well, there's probably going to be a serious influx of them if it isn't already happening as we speak.
I agree. You need to get into medical profession where you deliver babies.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, Nick. So, man, how is this last week for you?
Good, good. Just
I see you've been hustling.
Hustling hard.
Man. Big time.
Yes.
I've never known Nick to not hustle.
You know, 6 kids. They're getting the little guy's getting bigger. He eats. I don't even know how he eats so much, but it's fucking ridiculous.
Is mom breastfeeding or is it formula?
No, it's formula.
Okay.
So we're we get the normal amount of formula. Then we have to get like 3 extra big tubs of $40 tubs of formula. So yeah, I got to hustle. That's a, you know, extra $120 a month.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you're getting all those sponsors lined up for us, man. Right.
Yeah.
Let's get a formula sponsor for you.
There we go.
Hey, Dadcast.
Dadcast.
Why not?
Come on now.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know?
How's your week been?
Oh, it's good.
Hi, this is Avery. Thanks for listening to my dad on Dadcast.
Oh, thank you, baby. I appreciate that. That was my daughter, you know, thanking everyone out there. My week, they all blur, man. It's all a big blur for me. This isn't the only thing I do. I've got, you know, the radio station. I've got a couple of other jobs. So I'm just hustle, hustle, hustle day in, day out. But this last week, my kids went back to school, like legitimately full-time in school for the first time in a year. And today, as a matter of fact, both of them went back at the same time.
That's awesome.
So they are literally in school right now as we are speaking. And I love it because it affords me, and more importantly, it affords mom a little bit of that comfy quiet that we haven't experienced in over a year at home.
Exactly.
But JP, be honest here.
Yes.
When you and your wife go places,
uh-huh.
all you do is talk about your children.
Yeah, and we miss them.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We complain when they're there. But in fact, we're actually going somewhere in a couple of weeks, and I'm already missing them.
Right.
Yeah. I look forward, it's literally at the same time.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get some time away, but I already miss them.
Yeah, right. I've done that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. But I think
Little mom and dad time is a really good, healthy thing.
Oh, absolutely. Necessary. We're going to eat tacos and maybe get matching tattoos.
Right.
Probably.
If you knew the whole story behind all this. Okay. You want to hear the story?
Absolutely.
Everyone want to hear the story?
Yes. Yeah.
So Valentine's Day rolled around. And if you are not aware, people listening of the podcast know my lady has been through a shit year. Okay, and I don't know if you're aware, Jerome, but she had a full hysterectomy about 6-7 months ago, which was a preventative measure. Mm-hmm. But and then a month ago, she went through a double mastectomy because of breast cancer.
God.
So she psychologically is having some, it's tough. I mean, can you imagine, you know, everything that makes you a woman gone?
My mother mm-hmm. is one of the first 10 people in the world to have a bilateral mastectomy.
Uh-huh.
In the 60s, and they didn't, you know, used to remove breasts and that type. She had breast cancer.
Right.
And at that point, it was so new, they even put the implants in backwards. It was crazy.
Wow.
She went through. So it's, you know, it's come a long ways, but it is very hard on a woman mentally. My mother ended up in a mental institution.
Wow. Well, I don't think Jen's doing good.
Good.
My lady is doing good. I mean, she's strong. And if she, if there are any signs of, she isn't. She doesn't show it, which is great. So, you know, okay, back to the point. So I knew all of this was going down, and I actually have a trip to go to. I have to go to where we're going for work. It's a pirate radio thing. Every single year, I have a remote a broadcast to do in the boating industry because pirate radio, sailors, yada, yada, yada. And anyway, this was booked months and months ago. Had to recancel and redo it, but paid for completely by pirate radio, which is amazing.
Nice.
We're going to South Florida.
Awesome.
Again, to eat fish tacos. And I was going to plan it on Valentine's Day, but she had just had the surgery. So I pushed it off a little bit, and that is her gift. So we got a B&B, we got the Turo, and we've got, what else, the flight.
Awesome.
That's all handled, so paid good. For, and thankfully, because right now, you know, money ain't exactly falling off the friggin' trees. Yeah. So yeah, we got to do that. And like you mentioned, taco tattoos. I actually literally said that to her. We only want to go there for the fish tacos. I'm not even kidding. They have the best mahi-mahi fish tacos in the history of the world. And they're everywhere. And there's one place. But anyway, so I said we should get matching tattoos. And it might just be a fish taco.
You should.
Yeah.
You definitely should.
We're next to the Red Robin
tattoo.
Yes. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And last week's podcast, I said if Red Robin sponsored us, and I was joking for the record, I'd get a Red Robin logo tattooed somewhere on my body. And 2 days later, they sponsored us.
And so we're.
So.
And
I don't have a problem. Yeah. I'm going to get a Red Robin tattoo, and it's going to be just fine.
Yeah, so awesome.
When I walk into Red Robin, I'm getting that free food. And I want to give a shout out to Jen Godfrey. She's going to hook us up.
Is she going to come in and do it live on the podcast?
I'll talk to her and see if she'll do it.
I don't know how COVID and illegal that is. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
But.
It's kind of sanitary.
I mean, I can hold the fort down. I mean, we're talking small tattoos. It won't take that long.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or maybe she could start it during.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or we could film down there, do the podcast at her place.
Oh.
That might work.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. We have the power. We have the capability.
We do. Thank you, Rodecaster Pro.
Yeah. Man, it'd be cool if we sponsored by Rodecaster Pro.
Exactly.
All right, Jerome. So I am absolutely just, I'm intrigued by you and your career in the SAG world, the Screen Actors Guild, TV show. He said hundreds of movies, hundreds of TV shows, music videos. You've hung out with the rock stars, et cetera. You gave off the impression as like, whatever. Very humble guy.
You know, I'm no better than the next guy, to be very honest.
Absolutely.
And that's how I feel about it. And there's a reason I don't live in Los Angeles where I could be working constantly.
What is that reason?
The type of people in that industry.
Oh man, I grew up in Southern California,
so
man.
Did I
know. It's
so I mean, they're way full of themselves, and you know, it's always a competition to get somebody with a trust fund. There's just so many different things, and they expect you to wait on them hand and foot. I mean, I have A-list buddies that might tell me when I'm at their house in mansion in Hollywood Hills, hey, go grab me a beer. I'll tell them, get off your ass and go out and grab your own fucking beer, man. And that's right. What I do, and they respect me for that because I'm not going to kiss their ass,
right?
Nice.
I'll never treat them like they're better than me, and I don't like it when people treat me like I'm something special, because I'm really not. I'm just a normal guy following the path God's got me on. You know, that's really all.
I find that you are guilty until proven innocent down there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? And, well, that's cool. That deserves some of that right there. Another applause. Well, regardless, we're still going to talk about it.
Oh, I'm good.
Best, most favorite experience you've had in a show. Bottom line, what's your favorite TV show or movie you've ever done? And tell us about the experience and why.
Well, I've done a lot. I actually liked my small part in, I have a hard time remembering even what I've been in. I've been in so many. There was a Purge Anarchy was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Oh, and I got to be a murderer. And, you know, I got to be a billionaire.
Nice.
And I had a smoking hot chick for a wife.
Right.
And we were part of the hunting party. We went out and hunted people when you're allowed to hunt people for that 24-hour period. And it was quite fun. And I made some good friends on that set.
Purge Anarchy. Was that first, second, or third?
That was number two.
Number two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that now.
Yeah. Just a very small scene. They cut my scene way back like usual.
Uh-huh.
I got to the point where I don't tell people I'm in movies anymore because you never know if I actually made the cut.
Right.
It just is what it is. But that was an awful fun one. Music videos are an awful lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
Because I can act as stupid. I do a lot of parody music videos.
Okay.
With people that have 10 million followers.
Uh-huh.
And big time deal. And I mean, I have some music videos I've done that have 700 million views.
Wow.
Think about that on YouTube.
That's crazy.
700 million views.
Yeah, man. If I just had a million views, I think I would be the best thing. And we'll get there one day, man.
But these guys make, I guess these YouTube stars guys make they make pretty good money.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was asked to go into a lot more YouTube videos with one particular guy. His name is Bart Baker, and he's a real famous YouTube star. Mm-hmm. And Bart used to have me in a lot of his videos. We just had a good chemistry, and I was kind of fearless, so I'd do whatever they asked me to. But once I got my job on the court television show that I'm on,
yes,
I had to be a little more, I had to be more professional.
Yeah, you had to pull in the reins just a bit, didn't you?
Because I really am the other guy. I'm the nutcase, you know. But
Maternity Court, tell us about that.
You know, we're going into our eighth season.
Uh-huh. And that's what you won the Emmy for, correct?
Yeah, 2019, I won an Emmy as co-host.
Co-host.
And I'm the bailiff, and I've been with the show since the inception, since it was the pilot and the sizzle reel. Other than the time when I injured myself and I had to sit out half a season and have somebody fill in for me. But I'm still the guy. And the thing is no acting involved. So when I worked for Josephine County Sheriff's Office, I did work in the courts quite a bit, uh-huh. And so I was the right guy for this job. when you talk about, like, we did family court here a lot in Josephine County. Pretty intense, it's kind of one of the more dangerous courts where people are going to want to, you know, throw blows. But if you take it to a paternity issue,
right,
where the paternity of a child's in question, it escalates. So what I want to say is, on our show, no actors, period. I mean, I physically remove people from the courtroom very often.
It's an emotional. I mean, it's just me thinking about the idea of being in something like that in a scenario. Thank God I'm not. I have been.
Yeah. I have been. So I was the perfect guy for the show because I've been through what these guys have been through. They look at me the way I look, but they don't realize the way I look inside that. The way I look, there's this human being that's been through a lot in his own life, and I can totally relate to them. I'm not just this big bailiff guy that's a TV star or whatever they want to call me. I'm actually a person that's been there, done that. So I think the biggest reason I have a fan base is because of how kind I am to the litigants. And, you know, I try to counsel them. And, you know, the only thing I can tell you, if you have a paternity question, the best thing that can happen is you know the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So no argument there. I never knew my biological father.
Yep.
So, I mean, I knew who he was, but he never bothered to be my dad. So I hadn't seen him since I was 3 years old, and he's already deceased. That's a big void.
Absolutely.
What do you do?
I can't personally begin to even think I know how that is. Cause I mean, I'm lucky. I, my dad was there.
Amen.
And until the day he passed away. Yep. And because of that, you know, the foundation was set upon me for my children.
Right.
At least I like to think. And I know many times that's not the case.
Yeah.
No, but, I'm there for my kids, man. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
You know, your kids have to be. Yeah, amen. Me too. You know, I put it this way. It's hard to say there's anything above my children, but you do have God. And so pretty much God first, children second, grandchildren along with the children. And, you know, I'd give my life for anybody in my family. I'd give my life for my friends. It is what it is. You know.
So God, family. Now, we might get controversial here, but does Trump come third?
I like Trump.
I know you do, my friend. Yeah, and we can talk about that if you'd like, or we can completely skip it over.
We can talk about it.
How do you feel about that, Nick?
I'm good.
We might seriously turn off a whole lot of people if we go this route. But you know what? It's our show. If at this point, if you don't like politics.
So here's the thing.
Bye-bye.
Probably all have different beliefs too.
Right.
Like, and that's a great thing about America.
Right? Yeah.
Love is my religion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Let me back up. Do I like Trump? Not really do I like Trump. Do I like the direction he had our country going in? I did. Did I vote for Trump when he was running against Hillary? I didn't vote because I didn't like either one of them. Exactly. Honest truth. So Trump had to prove himself to me, and he did. And the thing I liked and respected the most about Trump is he is not a politician.
That's exactly.
He's a businessman, and that's right. That's what works for me. Yeah, there's some really horrible things that guy said, but who hasn't? He just, you know, he's unfiltered like me.
Real.
I love it. He's real. Mm-hmm. He's real. He really is a true patriotic American.
Did you happen to catch the CPAC, his speech yesterday, the day before?
I saw a little bit on the news, but not much.
All right. To sum it up in a nutshell, he didn't say he was, but he sure as shit didn't say he wasn't. And he left it open. I think we're going to see Trump 2024. He's going to run.
It's a good possibility.
45 is 27.
That's exactly.
I mean, 45 is going to be 47.
Yeah.
No. You get that?
I know exactly what
it is. He was the 45th, and he's going to be the 47.
Number 47. Unless he could end up being 48 if, you know, Biden.
Somehow.
And I could set myself up for a whole bunch of bad scenario there. But if Biden is no longer in office, then Kamala is going to take over. Right. So 45 could become 48, just saying.
My whole thing is that I really care about our country, and I have a really high standard of ethics, and I believe that we all follow the same rules, no matter if you're the president or you're the pauper, man. It don't matter.
Right.
You follow the same laws, and there's nobody above the law, and it doesn't matter who you are. So if we all follow the same rules, we don't turn the rules in our favor and keep them the other way for the other person, so we have the edge. It's not right. And that's what I see a lot about a lot of politicians is – they'll talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk.
Right. It, my single biggest, I don't want to say fear, but it is the division.
Amen.
That this, all of this,
right,
whether you're pro or anti anybody, there was a time in this country where that was, it's okay. You know, you don't have to like my guy.
Yeah.
But guess what?
Good stuff.
My guy is going to end up being that. Or you know what? Your guy or girl is going to be. Right. And that's that. Okay. So let's get together to healing and doing the best we can for everybody. And,
exactly.
And I don't know what the hell has happened,
right.
But it has definitely happened in our lifetimes. It has happened in my first presidential election that I could vote in was Clinton Perot.
Wow.
So 1992,
wow.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, I was 18 then. I could vote. But even going back to then, this wasn't the case. Yes, there's all, you know,
right.
I don't like Clinton. I don't like Perot. I don't like whatever.
I don't like politicians.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan either. But this whole division, this whole anger.
Can I tell you where I saw that first happen?
What?
And I am the furthest thing from a guy that even looks at anybody's skin color. So don't take it that direction. Where I saw the most division was with Obama, to be honest with you. That's where I saw it coming. And, you know, I was happy we had a black president.
That's what I was leading up to, by the record.
Yes, but that's where I started seeing the massive division. And it was kind of horrible. But the other side that doesn't support what I support are always pointing the finger at the other side. And it's overwhelming. And, you know, I go back to think about my volunteering for the fire department. I honestly want to leave the world in a better place when I leave here, and a better place for my children and grandchildren, you know. And when I think about the paternity court,
right?
We've done 1,000 episodes. That's 1,000 children's lives we've changed. Wow. That's a lot.
Now,
and it's all real.
Is it for the better? This show, I the children's lives you're changing. Is it 1,000 of
Amen.
Children?
Who wouldn't want to know who their biological father is,
right,
or get a chance to reach out? I mean, every human being deserves to know who their biological parents are.
I could just see some scenario though, where you know the child finds out, and that parent decides they don't want to be a part.
Well, it happens all the time,
and then that's would the child have been? It's a slippery slope. Would they have been better off not knowing?
But what if? On the father's side, that you just now found out your father, there's some massive health issues that you should be warned about for yourself and your own children.
Right,
right.
Or I mean, you need to know.
You know, good parents, and the kid now has better grandparents because of it.
Amen. Right.
He's a shitty dad.
Or a relative.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole, on the father's side, there's a whole other family.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Is that show, when's the next, are you currently filming?
No.
When does that go back in?
I don't know. Waiting until the COVID.
Wow. So we haven't yet there's been no for this whole year?
That's gonna be rough too. Yeah.
I'm good.
You're having a good time hanging out?
Yeah.
The Hamilton. What do you call your place? I love it in Facebook. You always say you're hanging out at your.
Which place? The River House?
The River House.
What do I call that? My waterfront. I don't remember. Honestly,
it's online. You know what? Nick, take over. I'm going to find out.
All right. So. Yeah, I've known you for like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
I've always wanted to do this.
Oh,
I wanted to sit down.
It,
I wanted to pick your brain, get some more history of Jerome.
Yeah.
And find out. And this is awesome. We finally
Thank
got the
you.
Chance to
well,
do
I mean,
it.
Like I said, it's an honor for me to be here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I shouldn't be here. I'm not worthy of it, to be honest with you. But I am a dad.
Just like you said, man. I'm just a guy.
We're just a dude
who's a dad who likes to play in radio with microphones.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I like to learn interesting things about interesting people.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're one of the most interesting guys I know.
I need that commercial to spring Dos Equis back, and I'll be the most interesting man in the world.
You got to grow a goatee, man.
Oh, I can grow
that beard.
It turns out white. That's the problem.
It's kind of sexy, though.
Yeah.
It's a George Clooney-ish.
Yeah, you're right. I get a lot of, I don't know. I'm just used to having a clean face, but it's a lot easier to have a beard.
It is.
Because I don't like shaving.
Yeah.
But I don't have, I don't have whiskers that much, so I don't, shave every other day. That's about it. But, Nick, it's great to be here. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for the dad you are and the mother, the mother your wife is, and your kids are amazing. And you know, you're a true inspiration because you hustle. That's how we get it done, bro.
Yeah. Like nothing's going to get handed to you. I want my kids to know
if
you have to
work
your ass off for it.
Go work your ass off for it. I didn't have anything handed to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I went from living in a car to owning a very large mansion, 8,000 square foot mansion in the hills, you know.
Yeah.
And every time I'd walk in there, I'd go, and I bought that mansion when I believe I was 35, and that was probably my 10th home I'd bought by then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a gated community on a golf course in California. You know, that was big bucks. But every time I'd walk into this house, when I bought the house, it was a kind of a pre-foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor and a builder had built it for spec. And then the market crashed, and they were going to lose it. And so I think about that. Here's this kid that didn't even graduate high school that lived in this car that's now buying this from a doctor and a builder, you know.
Right.
And it was pretty cool. So you walk into a place like that, it's hard to understand that it's yours. Yeah. It was really weird. I mean, because I walk in the front, and this thing was a palace. I mean, 500 grand just in moldings in the inside of the house.
Wow.
It was done. And
damn. That was your first house, you say?
That was my first. That was a big house that I owned.
Can I ask? It's personal?
Yeah.
No problem. How did you earn the money to buy that house? Was that a movie, TV show at that point in time? Or?
No. What I found that I loved to do as a young child was work with my hands.
Okay.
So I'm very mechanically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
As a little boy, I used to tear apart bicycles, and all the neighborhood would bring me their old bicycles, and I'd sell the parts. So I was kind of an entrepreneur at very young. I sold my first car. I was 9 years old.
I love that.
True story. Tripled my money.
Nice.
Yeah. Got it for $100, sold for $300 the next day. And so the car business is what I did. I ended up owning an auto auction, and, you know, I did pretty darn well. I bought a lot of real estate back in the day. You know, but a couple divorces later, and you don't have all that anymore. You know?
Thankfully, I've never joined that club.
Yeah, don't.
Well, actually, the one divorce wiped me out. So
I haven't even been married.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
We'll do that.
Well, yeah, okay. Definitely. You know, I know my lady's listening.
Well, I like being married. I love
Jen,
to be married.
You're awesome. So,
yeah. Yeah. You're an awesome guy, man.
Yeah. She's awesome. She's more awesome
JP's
than me.
JP's all right.
Oh, your wife's awesome too.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, call her your wife because you're married.
Yeah, but I know.
Yeah,
but she still. Remember, she walked out the room last week.
Yeah,
better put a ring on it.
Yeah. Well, put a ring on it then.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
You want me to propose for you?
Yeah. You never know.
We'll do it live on air.
Can we put it on the Emmy?
Right on.
Oh,
no, I have a lot to be thankful for, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny. Nick Watt still is afraid of those he's afraid of those headphones, Jerome.
I feel like I'm yelling at you guys when I have the headphones on. I don't know how loud I'm talking, so it's...
Well, I'd rather have them than not.
Yeah.
You got it in this industry? Yeah. It literally, this is yelling! You'll know.
Okay.
I'm not yelling. But, yeah, man, so car business, and it's funny. Have I told the story about my flip on the show yet?
I think we did back last season. Just a little bit, though.
A little bit.
But you've done a lot since then.
I got bored last year during COVID, and we got our first stimulus check.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't need it. You know, I was one of those goes like, shit's nice, but I don't know, it's probably better suited somewhere else.
Oh, I hear you.
I'm paying the bills. I'm still working. I don't need this. But here it is.
But you deserved it.
Sure. I don't even know if that's the case, you know. And I never feel like I'm one of those type that deserves anything.
Listen, bro, you've contributed to the health of the nation and in your own way. So, of course, you earned it and you deserved it.
All right. So I deserved it.
Yes.
But I had to figure out what to do with it. And I had no intention of doing what I did. But long story short, I bought a 1994 Mustang GT for $800.
Yeah.
Flipped it for like $3,500.
Perfect.
And over the course of 2 months, I turned that $800 into 10 grand cash over flipping like five cars in 2 months.
You had some badass cars too.
Oh yeah. I had a Beamer, I had a Porsche, I had a Vette, I had a truck. And it was so easy. But then I found out it's illegal to do more than five.
Right. If I told you how I got into the car business, you wouldn't believe it.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good segue.
You want me to get into it?
I do.
I used to play pool a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I used to play nine ball a lot. And I used to gamble playing pool. I was never any good. I was better than the average player, but not as good as the good guys.
All right.
So there was a game that was called three ball. And you put three balls on the table. And the person to make the three balls in, you play against one other guy. The person to make the balls in the lowest amount of shots wins.
Right.
Pretty simple game. The break counts as your, when you break the balls, that counts as your first shot. So I'm playing this guy, and every time you tie, you make them both into the same number, the pot doubles. So I was playing this guy $200 a game. It got up to, where were we? I believe $1,400, my $1,400 cash or his pickup truck.
Okay.
He gets up and he shoots and he makes two balls and shoots the second ball and he's got a two, which is what's going to beat a two.
Right.
You got to break them all in, which never happens.
Right.
Well, guess what?
You broke them all in.
Broke them all in. I'll never forget. We were playing in a bar.
Right.
I'll never forget the sound that guy just about choked on his beer watching me do it. I ended up getting his pickup truck from him, in which I sold to somebody, I believe, for like $2,800, and then I took the $2,800 and I believe I turned it into some jewelry of all things and sold the jewelry for a profit. So really, I made millions of dollars in the car business. I don't have any more, but I did. And that all started from that silly little pool game.
From that pool game. That's a good story, man. Yeah, that's why I love this Dadcast.
Exactly.
I don't know if you're ever going to get to that story anywhere else.
You know, it's pretty unusual. And there again, if you find something in life that you enjoy doing that you get paid for, it's not really work, man.
Exactly.
And I love cars. That's my thing. I have 50 cars in my collection.
Yeah. What's your favorite right now? I know that's one of those difficult, probably impossible questions because each of them is your favorite.
They really are.
You wouldn't have it if they weren't. But if you had to choose one, they all, there's a horrible earthquake and only one's left standing. Which one is it?
Man, I don't know. I like my Bentley. I mean, as far as a driving car, it drives really good, but I've got so many cars, you know, and it's hard to say. I like classic cars a lot. That's my big thing is that's what I have, a classic car collection.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got several other late model ones. As far as my favorite car, I have a 49 Dodge Wayfarer Roadster.
Yeah.
1949. It's a pretty rare car. It's a convertible Roadster. I love that car.
There you go. There's the answer.
Yep.
Oh,
not my most expensive car.
What's your fastest car?
Well, the Bentley is a V12 twin turbo, so it goes pretty quick.
Oh, look at this. I didn't put my car. Yeah, we're going to go and put that on silent. Fast cars. So I want a Tesla.
They're great cars and they're fast.
I want a Tesla.
Yeah.
I'm going to do anything in my power to get a Tesla before the end of this year.
Me too, actually.
Legally.
Yeah.
Okay. We can use each other's referrals for free supercharging miles. But I'm realist here. There's no way I'm going to be able to afford the Model S Plaid Plus, which I just found out last night, 0 to 60, 1.8.
That's insane, man.
It's the fastest production vehicle ever made. There is not a vehicle on the planet that is faster than that car.
Right.
$125,000.
Yeah.
Well, so you know, that's not a bad price.
No, actually. It's not. When you think about it,
you know. Right.
So my sister just bought one, about $30,000.
Which one? Model 3?
The Model 3, the base model. It's nice. It's a really nice Tesla.
And it's still fast as all hell.
Fucking fast as shit, dude. It's the scariest fucker I've ever been. 0 to 60. I don't know how fast we got going. But
well, if it's the standard range plus, it's like 5.1.
Yeah.
Which is still.
It's faster than my Hyundai.
Yep.
And I paid about the same for my Hyundai. I'm a little pissed. I'm like, what the hell was I doing?
So
leather interior.
Yeah.
Very nice car. $30,000. And you get a $10,000 tax break.
That's crazy. That's good.
So I'm doing
it. Oregon's got it. And actually the federal one they're talking about, which is a good thing about this administration, if you want to go that route, they're re-implementing the federal refund.
Really?
Because Tesla, once they sold a certain amount of cars, you didn't get it anymore. They're going to give them like another 200,000.
Oh, right. Shit.
So if you buy a car, if it gets, and it's looking like it's going to, if they implement that again and you buy it, it has to be new.
Okay.
You buy a new Tesla, you get $7,500 back from federal, and then you can also get up to $5,000 back off two different ones in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at $12,500 back right there on a $40,000 car. You're now right there with a Honda Accord and a new Camry.
Yeah.
You know why the current administration brought that back, right?
Why?
Because all his administration drives is Teslas.
Yeah?
I'm kidding. That was supposed to be a joke. I don't know.
Oh, it was it?
Yeah, it was a little laughing.
Oh, well, you know.
You start pushing buttons.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Or
exactly, crickets. There you go. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It was hilarious.
All right.
So cars, politics.
Wow. Yeah. This has actually been the most adult podcast we've done so far, I think. We've had a Bigfoot encounter with one of our guests.
Yes. We have.
Possibly could have been a bear.
We were drinking whiskey last week. You know, speaking of drinking, I have yet to tap into our amazing sponsors, Boneyard Elixirs, grape soda, CBD-infused sparkling beverage. Thank you, guys. As always, I am going to do it.
Well, you right do that. Here. I'm going to thank the other sponsors, JL Insurance, LLC.
Mm-mm.
Hit them up on Facebook. They do all of your insurance needs, home, auto, life. I'm sure there's some other stuff they do, but hit them up. Happy Dragon Mongolian Barbecue, downtown Medford. So good. Best service I've ever had at a restaurant locally here. The owners are amazing.
And I like stuffing my bowl.
Yes.
10 times larger than I could fit into that bowl.
Yes.
And taking home the leftovers.
Oh.
And then I douse it with peanut sauce.
I do, the same thing. And you know, that food's always really fresh.
Yep.
And it's cooked right there for you.
Oh,
it's
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new owners, awesome people.
Yes,
very super, good super nice. Anchor Valley Wine, Joe Moxley, Bill Powell, thank you guys.
Right on.
Yeah, they were our guests last week. That was fun. Joe brought whiskey.
I've been known to drink a little of that.
I feel stupid. I stopped drinking. Like this.
Don't feel stupid. Well, never, ever feel stupid.
That's a good
choice, man. And you didn't quit because you had a problem.
No.
You quit because
I just wanted to.
I did the same thing. I quit for several months, but just recently started having a few again at night just to relax. As we got things more organized in the fire department, it's not so mandatory that I actually respond because we've brought in more volunteers and good quality volunteers, and we give them all the training. So if anybody would like to join a really good volunteer fire department out in Wolf Creek, you could respond to calls from your house. We could use the help, to be honest with you. And it's very professional and very, very rewarding. So I quit drinking so I could respond because I would never drive and drink.
Oh, yeah.
And so at nights I would have a little, you know, I'm getting older, have a little hot toddy or whatever and go to bed, you know. And now when you're on call all this time, you're going to get woke up all night long.
Right.
And you got to be able to respond. And I felt guilty that if I was inebriated and couldn't respond to a call because of that, and somebody needed me to help save their life, how selfish would that be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did the same thing. I'm like Nick. I could just quit, you know, and I can quit.
I don't drink that often these days. And again, there's no real good explanation. I think my lady would tell you these days I drink half a beer and I have a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the age thing. Yeah. Whereas before I didn't. I just think it's because I'm out of practice. And again, I think it was the evolution of my personal experience as a dad, because when I became a dad, you know, that was still, you know, I was out more nights a week than I was in.
Right.
And that is completely 180 degree shift.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the point where, whoa, I haven't gone out since November.
Yeah.
You know what? And
I think a lot of it for me was COVID, like honestly, because, you know, doing the concerts and stuff, you're out, you're promoting these concerts.
Fantastic job, by the way.
Thank you.
It was awesome, man.
You're around, you're drinking and just having a hell of a time.
Yeah.
And looking back, it's like, fuck, I don't remember a lot of what happened at those concerts, or was I an asshole to that person?
You were always really, really, I can tell you, because I was at most of them. You were always really pleasant and good with people. That's all I can say. I never would have known you were drinking.
Wow.
I didn't, honestly. That's probably because I was drinking too much. No, just kidding. I didn't.
He was, because you were an asshole.
Yeah, was he an asshole?
No, I'm just kidding.
honestly, he was always really cool to me. He's always been cool to me. Both you guys have. So, you know?
So, yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was just more of a conscious decision of, I want to remember, I want my kids to see how hard I work. And I don't, they are getting older too, my kids. So I don't want them to think, hey, it's cool to go get drunk.
They're very impressionable. Kind of
so, right. Yeah. So I want my kids to, you know, my dad's responsible and, you know, he's doing a good thing. And
you're the roadmap for them, dude.
Yeah.
So, exactly. You did mention a couple weeks ago that you would have a drink with me, but what was that for? Do you remember? You said, but if you do that, I'm definitely going to have a drink with you or something along those lines. I want to hold you to it.
I'll drink
if you want to.
I'm not saying I'm not ever going to drink again.
I know.
I'll have like maybe half a beer, something, you know, just a little small glass of whiskey or something, but nothing crazy.
Anybody here smoke cigars?
Yes. Not recently.
Okay, so let's do a podcast from my deck on the river.
Ooh.
And have cigars and a couple drinks.
He can't drink, but I'm in.
Well, we'll drink his. Don't worry, JP. We can drink his.
Okay.
Let's do that on right on the water. I mean,
I like it.
It'd be fun. And, you know, it's kind of beautiful there.
Okay.
Jerome Hamilton, episode 2.
It would be a lot.
The return.
It would just kind of be a lot of fun. It would be even more fun in the summer when people are rafting by and stuff.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. Yeah. So, it's kind of killer.
Nice.
And I like we should think about that in the future.
Now, when there's no thinking done. It's already set.
Done.
It's going to happen the weekend of the July 4th weekend.
Right on.
July 4th, but whatever weekend comes before or after.
Actually, I have an idea. Ben Carey and Brian Hopkins are going to be up in August. Why don't we do it in August? Have them on your deck, and we'll do a little acoustic. Perfect.
Yeah, that works really well. That would be awesome.
So, yeah.
Because,
Ben
man.
Wants to be on, and Brian, they're both parents. So,
I love those guys, man.
I got to lose some weight.
Good guys.
You going to take your shirt off and jump in the river?
Yes, and it's going to be on camera.
Dope.
I got to do the Jerome Hamilton plan.
Well, this new GoPro.
Ripped, gigantic shoulders and chest, and it doesn't even work out. And the man's 60 years old.
I'm just blessed, I guess. You know, I got lucky.
Right. Well, I used to look like that. Okay, not that. I was that thin back in the day.
Well, I'm down like, I think I'm down to 240. I usually weigh about 270.
Yeah.
270 ripped.
Right.
And, you know, right now I'm pretty thin for me.
Well, I weigh more than you, and I'm a foot shorter.
I weigh more than you too, and I'm like 3 feet shorter.
You know what's funny is my youngest son, super handsome guy, and he's 37 now. He's a male model. He's done very, very well. He's a great dad, and to me, he looks bigger than me, but I outweigh him by 40 pounds. I hope he doesn't see that because he always likes to say he's bigger than me, but. I outweigh him by 40 pounds. So it's just your perception, I guess. You don't look bad. You guys both look awesome, man.
You should see the shirt off. No, again, it is literally, the eye of the beholder.
I mean, in my case, I make my living in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of stay fairly good shape.
Right.
Fortunately, I'm lucky enough. I guess I don't have to work at it as hard as a lot of people. That's all I can say. I don't know.
I need to
but
get
I would
to,
if I had to.
If I got to that point where I got to the point where I liked what I saw in the mirror, maintaining would be probably pretty easy. I would think for me, because if I put in all that work to get there, keeping it up, it's going to be no problem.
It's all about discipline.
I know it is.
It all starts in the kitchen, man.
I'll tell you what, man. How about you start getting up at 2 a.m. with me? We'll hit the gym together. I'll come to Medford once in a while. You come to Grants Pass.
You do realize I have like 4 jobs. And I have to produce this whole show for you. Right?
Gym time's
I like what you're coming at. For me, it's just someone to hold myself. You know, I can hold myself accountable, but I can also not.
Right.
If I got that one person, you know, you don't necessarily have to be together. But at 2 a.m., first of all, hell no.
Well, maybe I like hanging out with you.
4 or 5 a.m., I'm cool with. I'm up almost that early anyway. You know, 5 a.m. is a good number.
There's a big difference in up at 4 or 5 a.m. and out the door at 4
or 5 a.m. Well, no, I'm not talking rolling out of bed at 5 a.m. I mean, when that 5 a.m. hits, it's like Rocky Balboa and his gray sweats and drinking those raw eggs and out running. It's ready to do work at 5 a.m.
I can do that. You know what happens is if you get into that routine, if you don't do it, you're going to miss it.
Right.
Yep. It's hard to get into it and get the mindset to do it, but once you do it and you realize how good you feel about the exercise you're getting, you crave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like sex, I'm cheating on myself. You know, you always go back for more.
I feel like I'm cheating on myself if I don't get out of bed at 2 a.m.
Yes.
And hit the gym for an hour and
a half. What time do you go to bed at night, though?
Like 8:30, 9. And then I sleep for a few hours, get up. I don't want to miss any time with the baby, and yeah. I don't want to take away family time. So I kind of I pick and choose
my personal stuff. 5 hours of sleep. I don't know. That would catch up to me.
I get back at home 4:30, sleep for another hour and a half before I have to go to work.
That's nice.
Get up with the baby and start the day that way.
I put a little gym in my house in Grants Pass because Club Northwest is never open.
Right.
So because of COVID. And I was like, well, I keep paying for the last 15 years of these guys and I don't go. So they didn't like stop deducting my money every month out of my account. So I put a gym in my house and I've yet to use it, but it's there.
I did the same thing. As soon as COVID hit and they shut the gyms down, I went and bought a bunch of gym equipment and set up a whole room in the house.
That's what I did.
Yeah. I had the plan to do that in my garage as well. I even bought the floor padding.
Uh-huh.
To make it look cool.
Yeah.
And a bike. And I haven't done it yet.
Well, get in there and do it, and take baby steps.
Exactly.
I know. Got to clean the garage first. That's step one.
As far as getting fit, it honestly all starts in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's all about diet.
And I'm not talking about going on a diet. I'm talking about just eat right.
The diet. Yeah.
It's what you eat.
Mm-hmm. Less of it and make sure what you are eating is good for you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Yes.
But it isn't.
Right.
That's the thing. It's all up in here, man. But enough about my fat ass. Jeez.
We're talking about my fat ass.
Oh. Okay, I'm glad I didn't say what I was about to say because I was going to take us right back to the first 10 seconds of the show and then I would have been blamed, but.
No, I'm not.
Don't do it, man. Do not do it. So, okay, let's get back to Jerome. Okay, it's not about us. We're just the stupid hosts.
That's right.
Jerome. Movie star, normal guy. I love it. See, I was setting you up.
Hold on. I got to know.
I went movie star. He immediately went, don't. Just shut up, man.
Did you get to hang out with Ryan Reynolds on Safe House?
I did not.
Oh, man. I want to know if I
have worked with pretty much everybody.
Yeah. Do you have a problem calling out any movie star you've worked with? If I asked you a certain individual was an asshole, would you hold off on that answer?
No, I would tell you.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Who's the biggest asshole you've worked with?
Roseanne Barr.
Why does that not surprise me?
That's awesome.
Can you tell us why?
Well, I could tell you why. So before Obama got elected, she had announced she was also going to run for president.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So they did the Comedy Central roast of Roseanne, and they hired me to be her Secret Service agent to bring her up on the dais and walk her up there because I was her main Secret Service agent. So she had announced she's running for president. She carried these flags. And the thing is that she's, from what I understand, a germaphobe. And she had a sleeveless shirt on. And I was in a nice suit. And I was to grab her around her arm. And I know she doesn't like skin on skin.
Right.
So I was to grab her around her arm and walk her up. And I decided, well, you know what? I got a long sleeve. I want you to just grab my arm. And I'm standing there in a group closer than all of us are right here. And I told her that. I said, you know what? If it's better for you, I don't have a problem just grabbing my arm and us walking up. And she just stared at me. And I was like, I looked at the other guys there. I said, did that just come out of my mouth or did I dream that?
Right.
Oh, no, you said it. That's what they said. You said it. Well, she never did answer me and never did say one word to me the whole time we worked together. And it was really weird. I found it very weird. Nice. And I asked the assistant director, I said, man, go tell her that if she wants to grab my arm, I'm good with it. Well, tell her. He says, well, tell her. And I said, well, I did. And he said, well, what'd she say? I said, nothing. I said, that is the weirdest. She wasn't a prick to me or anything, but she was just like, it was almost like that look like you're talking to me.
Yeah.
And I don't play that game. Don't make me like I'm beneath you.
Right.
But please don't make me like I'm better than you either. So we're all just freaking people, man. And I didn't dig that. And it really rubbed me the wrong way. One of the nicest people I ever worked with.
There he goes. That was my next question. Yep.
Henry Winkler.
Oh, yeah. The Fonz, man.
He's the shit, man. He's nice. I worked on Parks and Rec with him and everybody else that was on Parks and Rec. And we sat down and had lunch together one day. And all we did was, he's an avid fisherman. He flies to foreign destinations to fish for freshwater fish. And he just showed me every picture in his phone of his fish. And then we talked fish. He was a super, super cool guy. And honestly, people say that like Chevy Chase is an asshole to work with.
I've read that again.
Guess what? I worked with him 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I did a scene with him in a small room like this. He stood up and thanked me for working with him. That made me feel good because he was really easy to work with.
Nice.
Dan Aykroyd, people that I grew up, the people I grew up, liking, idolizing.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. It's just amazing how how untrue a lot of the stories are about people. But I will tell anybody that if he's nice or if he's an ass, I'll tell you, he's a, you know, either way.
Have you ever worked with Bill Murray?
Joel Murray, his brother, I've worked with a few times. Not Bill. I was actually, by Joel, his brother, I was actually invited to go golfing. We were going to do Pebble Beach.
Right.
Me, Joel, Bill. It never happened. But I think he's probably a really cool guy because Joel's a really cool guy.
Yeah, I mean, the stories I've seen, the videos I've watched, I think Bill Murray's the man. Bill, if this ever gets to you, somehow, some way, we want to do the Dadcast with you.
Yeah, exactly. We want to shoot golf balls into gopher holes.
I'm going to jump back to Mr. Aykroyd, though. If you're watching
Dan Aykroyd was awesome.
Yeah, I know you hang out in the valley, Mr. Aykroyd.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's partners with Jim Belushi.
Oh, I've seen Jim. I talked to Jim at the airport. I didn't know they were partners.
Well, Mr. Belushi, I'd like you to be on the podcast as well. So,
yeah, Jim's a nice guy. Real nice guy. They're just, like I said, if they're not nice, I'll tell you.
So Jim is like one of my favorite movies, Mr. Destiny.
Yeah, never
one of the greatest movies of all time.
I've never seen it.
You should watch it.
I don't watch a lot of movies. And, you know, honestly, the funny part with me is that I have worked with so many people that are real famous and I have no clue who they are. I mean, I could be I remember one time I was doing a movie, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, with Jim Carrey. Of course, you know who that is. There were so many actors in that. That's where I got to be friendly with James Gandolfini before he passed.
Oh, wow.
And I was standing at the craft area where they, you know, they give you free food. And I'm like talking to this beautiful lady. And I'm the beautiful chick. And we're talking. I get up and walk away. Guy comes up and he goes, "Holy crap, man. How was it talking to Olivia Wilde?" I'm like, "Who's that?" I never knew who it was.
Good looking lady. She's
woman. Very good looking lady. She was super nice to me. And I was like,
huh.
I like that about myself because I don't treat these people special.
Right.
And I really didn't know who she was. And I don't know who most of them are. I mean, like a Dan Aykroyd, of course I do. Mm-hmm. Chevy Chase, of course I do. Ryan Reynolds, I would know who he is now.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that I don't have a clue. And I, you know, maybe that's what they like about me is I don't treat them special. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Nick Martin.
Yes.
On that frame of questions there, who's the biggest asshole you've ever worked with?
That's actually going to be the singer from Creed, Scott
Stapp. I was kidding. I thought you were going to answer me. I was literally setting you up to knock me down. There it is.
I was waiting for you to call him out.
No, but he was Mr. Stapp was in the valley on a tour, and I got the lucky short straw drawn to hang out with the guy. And he was an asshole. He was the biggest dick I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So,
Jared Leto for me.
Yeah. Yes. He was the second one. I went to the 30 Seconds to Mars show. He was a dick to everybody.
He looked
at
like
that
a prick yesterday when he didn't win the Golden Globe, or somebody won it and he didn't get it. It was like a televised thing.
Right.
I just happened to see it on the news, catch him being in the frame because they had everybody was up for the award and then they announced the winner and he just looked like he couldn't believe he didn't get it. So he looked kind of like
when
a prick.
I want to keep a photograph of him in Fight Club after he got his ass kicked.
Yes.
With me on hand. So if and when I ever do get to see him again, I'll be like, "Oh my God, can you sign this for me?"
Yeah.
And then I.
So were you back?
Show him the picture.
Did you actually get to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was hanging out with Neon Trees and New Politics, and Jared came through and it was just a fucking dick. Like, he was like, "Fuck Medford. I hate this fucking place." And
really?
Just an asshole. Like, he was like, "All the people are just trailer trash." And I'm like, "Wow, dude."
Yeah.
What an ungrateful son of a bitch.
You know who's super freaking cool, a musician? I just have to throw this out there. So my hometown is Seal Beach, California, by the ocean, on the ocean. Little small towns. I call it Mayberry by the Sea. It's an amazing little town.
Lots of Marines there.
There is. There's not as many Marines. There's naval there because there's a naval weapons area right there in that town. And once a year, Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son, would come and play a free concert in our concert in the park. And basically what happened was in his journey, by the way, he just won the Academy Award. He wrote the song for Stars Born. So the guy's big time, and he's
You should.
I don't know if you're familiar with his music, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
But just one of the nicest damn guys. He used to couch surf in Seal Beach for 4 years or 7 years. So he felt obligated to come back and do these free concerts. He'd drive up in Willie's old tour bus, and he's just one of the nicest guys. Has a little dog. You know, he's just down to earth guy and talented.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing. So I just wanted to throw that out there. As a musician, he was cool.
There you have it. Your signed, sealed approval from the man, the myth himself, Jerome Hamilton, right there.
Yeah.
Well, we are getting near the end of our time. This one, it just kind of flew by. We may want to consider upping the ante and making these episodes longer one day, but we've already figured out that we are going to have a part two
on
with you, sir, on the deck in God's country.
Right on.
That's what I was looking for earlier, what you always post on
your
Facebook.
I call it the Waterfront Lodge or something in God's country, but my house in Colonial Valley, it's God's country, Colonial Valley.
There it is.
You know, in Grants Pass area. And you're right. It is God's country. You know what? I was born in Oregon, but raised in Southern California. I came back to Oregon later in life after I kind of retired at age, I think I kind of retired around age 40 and did well in the car business, but then divorce took care of all the retirement. However, it's okay. And I like being here, but I'm a beach guy, man.
Yeah.
Anytime I can get back down to the coast, down to the beach in Southern California and put my toes in the warm,
I miss
warm
it too.
Sand. And,
that's why I you know, cannot wait for next week.
Beautiful cars, beautiful women, beautiful homes. You know, I'm not saying the people are beautiful. There's a lot of them are real, liberal assholes. But, you know, for the most part, I just like the climate there. Here is actually really amazing too.
Well, Grants Pass would tell you it's the climate.
That's right.
Ba-dunk-cha.
Yeah.
So, you want the want. Was that not funny? All right. Put your hands together one more time for Jerome Hamilton, our guest today on Dadcast. We look forward to going out to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And doing another episode with you here come summertime.
Yes.
We are 100% out of time. We can't wait to see you back on Paternity Court as soon as this COVID thing's over.
Well, it's still playing.
Where can you watch Paternity Court real quick?
Well, you can watch it on television 5 days a week, 4 times a day. I don't know what channel. Or you can go YouTube, where we have a couple million followers. And YouTube has, I think, unedited episodes, the full episodes. And I guess it does pretty well.
I want to see some outtakes of you kicking ass.
That's right.
You know, they always cut it out.
Of course they would.
I mean, I literally do have to. Huh?
They send it to you though, right?
No.
What?
No, I mean, I physically remove somebody and it's cut out.
Man.
I can't even explain it to you.
Hold on to that thought because we will get to that on the next episode.
I just want to throw this out there.
Of course.
The next time we talk, I would like to bring in a little bit of conversation about the Route 91 Harvest Festival.
Absolutely.
The shooting that I was a survivor of. And the group that I created for survivors.
Absolutely. So. Which is, we could spend hours on just that topic alone. Yeah, absolutely. That could be like, I don't want to call it a special episode, but you know what I mean by that. I don't want to sound insensitive.
And that'll actually be good with Ben and Brian, too.
They're both there, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be awesome. If we talked about that a little bit together, it'd be pretty intense because we all have a pretty similar feeling about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Something we will absolutely revisit.
All right.
Cool. One more time, put your hands together for Jerome Hamilton.
Thank you for having me.
Nick Martin.
Nick.
Thank you very much. I am JP. We'll catch you all next week on another episode of Dadcast. Who do we got next week?
Oh, my buddy Jeff McLean.
There it is.
Right, a good one.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find out on Facebook.
Exactly. Because
Nick loves to post on Facebook.
That's right.
With that.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Dadcast.
See y'all next week.
Later.
Hasta la vista, baby. That was fun.